a fiendish masterpiece from the bowels of hell.
Yeah.
Mondays, boy, I hate Mondays. They make me he's so steamed. Weekends, I go for the weekends. Son of a bitch. Is it human in here? Because the guitar keeps getting out of tune.
Man, what kind of guitar is that, man?
It's a hell-spun mixture of the bones of fornicators and the sinew of thieves and gluttons.
It's a Fender.
Let the great experiment begin!
Oh, fiddlesticks!
Those greedy Weasley bastards.
Some of gotta feed them hogs.
Hello.
General Kenobi.
Honorable Charles.
Did you ever hear this?
No.
Wait, was this a commercial?
No.
In the early 2000s?
No. This is like every other commercial from the early 2000s.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you've probably seen the video. I think a Clone Castanova may have sent it to me and reminded me of it recently. It's like this really weird looking guy. I think it may have been a Eurovision song or something.
Oh.
I'm not sure, though. Don't quote me on that. But it is from like Finland, I think. It's called The Seventh Element by Vitas.
Oh, all right.
And the guy singing it is just a goof, but he makes those little noises. And if you can tell, I can't make little noises tonight. Yeah, that's all that guy making the little noises. So I figure since I can't do the little noises, I'll make the song the little noises, and that's all the little noises you're getting.
Because
I can't do my. I can't do it. I can't do it. My throat, my voice is gone. And so we're recording on Monday. The Authorian Man was in town and left yesterday.
We had a ball.
We did have a great time. And we're going to have him on next week sometime to discuss that. And quite frankly, prepare yourself because this is going to hit you like a you're gonna get whiplash if you know. This is going to be the shortest. I'm committed. This is going to be the shortest episode in years. And it's really the last Rebels episode where I think we can even justify a short episode.
Oh yeah, because they really do some lore dumping in the last. Few.
And that's not. I'm not shitting on this particular episode, but it's just the next episode is when everything ramps up fucking insanely. So welcome to the Clone Cast.
Welcome to the Clone Cast.
I'm Tom.
I'm Adam.
And what we do here is, oh, this is going to be tough. What we do here is we are watching in chronological order that goddamn Rebels show. Maybe it's best if I just don't even try these things, right?
No, the fun is
I love how you text me like, yeah, I lost my voice. So you sound great.
I did earlier today. I sounded like shit. I couldn't talk.
Ah. But now you're back at it.
Yeah, I drank some hot water, some lemon, and some honey, and it knocked it right out of there.
And we couldn't find any honey here, but I got some lozenges.
yes, you do.
But yeah, you're going to the fair tomorrow, so we can't do our normal day. And that I don't even know if I'll be good then.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt anymore. It just sounds like this, and I can't hit really high notes. So don't expect any mandates. Don't expect any
mandates.
Mandate. I can't do it. Get it on. I can't do it.
It's just a different version. It's
just
great.
A different version. That's what it is. This is the Clone Cast alternate version. This is the universe where Tom, instead of 5% of the time, has a raspy voice. 95% of the time, he has a raspy voice. It's the world between worlds. But what we do here is we are watching in chronological order that. I did that part.
The goddamn Rebel show.
Now I'm just talking more than I need to.
But typically, we bullshit for 30 to 40 minutes. Typically, 45.
I believe it's 20 to 40 minutes.
45 to an hour. This episode might definitely be the 20. Gonna be under.
Might be the 20.
Might be the 20.
Feeling the 20.
And then after that, we get right on into that episode.
But I kid you not, next week when my voice is fine, you will get probably a three-hour episode.
We do. We want to do. We're going to do a remote record with the Authorian Historian. And do a debrief on this trip to the Twin Cities.
Yeah, a field trip with all three participants.
Yes.
A field trip. We had a great time, though, so we look forward to talking about that. And
I cannot believe how much we packed into the short amount of time that he was in town.
We gave him the Twin Cities, baby. What can you say?
Yep.
We got to ask him the big question when we have him on, though. 35W North or 36 West / 35W South? What's the preferred skyline view?
I didn't even hear. Did he get the glimpse of 35W south to north?
Yeah, when we were coming back from zeros.
No, that was 36.
But it turns into 35W south.
No, I'm saying going 35 north.
35 north, yes, I showed him that one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, when we left the mall, I showed him that one.
Okay.
It is a good one. It's more imposing, but I think the grandeur of it all is better seen from 36. That's just my personal opinion. But anyways, so yeah, this is the bullshit portion. We just kind of talk about what's going on. All I got going on is I go back to work tomorrow after taking some days off.
Yeah, didn't you have all week off last week?
Yeah, I took all week off to try to save up some money with the Lyft for the Fiesta that we were having. So I did some extra Lyft, doubled up that pay. But yeah, I go back tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Really, really can't wait to sit down in my chair tomorrow morning and just live it up for 8 hours. I mean, it's been rough being away from it. I can't take it anymore though. Like one more day away from work and that'd be it for me.
Yeah.
I can't take this.
Well, if you can't take your job anymore, I can think of, there is an opening that came to light a couple of days ago.
At your job?
No.
Oh.
No, at a friend of ours that we went and visited.
Oh.
At Maharaja's in St.
Paul. Yes, Jit. Yeah. Well, we got to save that for the field trip. We did meet Jit, and this was my first time with Jit, and boy, do I have some thoughts. We'll talk about Jit's pricing as compared to every other shop on the planet, but he's a hell of a guy. He's a hell of a nice guy. I'll give him that.
That he is.
And we saw Steve.
We did.
Mr. Zero was at a concert.
Mr. Zero was at a concert.
Yeah, so we don't have really any Mr. Zero stories. He left a lady in his stead. I don't know if it's his girlfriend or who.
All we had to hear is he wasn't there, and then we practically jumped out of the door.
Yeah, which was probably a good thing because we're in a bit of a time crunch there.
All right!
There's Mr. Zero.
Yeah, that second day of moving around to different comic book and collectible stores, we kind of struck out.
David Bowie guy wasn't there either.
David Bowie guy wasn't there.
And Friendly Guy wasn't there. And it wasn't even a bigger Friendly Guy either.
Yeah.
It was a guy I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the other store owners.
He was trying to be very helpful, though.
I think it's the client guy, the guy the client talks about.
I think you're right.
I think he's the Richfield Hot Comics guy, and he must have been there for David Bowie guy. I hope David Bowie guy's all right.
What if David Bowie guy was up in Duluth watching Zero's show?
Oh, my God. And then, that would be great. The worlds collide. Maybe it was like a mob meeting. You know, everybody met up at the concert. They all got around the round table and discussed Twin City collectibles.
They got to meet up outside of the Twin Cities so they could talk shit about Steve without him noticing.
No, I more see them putting a hit out on Nerdin' Out or something like that. Those young upstarts. Like, we got to bury Nerdin' Out, man. They got too much square footage. They're not packing it in like they're supposed to. It's too clean.
Uh-huh.
They got two bathrooms in there.
The elbow room in there is nuts.
It's nuts, man. I went in two bathrooms in there. They didn't have soap in one of them, so I had to go in the ladies' bathroom to get the soap. I've never understood individual stall bathrooms that are labeled men and women.
It makes absolutely no sense.
And I love it, too, when like I've been to gas stations where they like lock the woman's one. You have to get a key.
Yeah.
It's like, why? I'm not going to shit all over the fucking toilet. But instead, I have to wait for somebody who is shitting all over the fucking toilet. And then I go in there and I got to fucking, not only do I got to shoot shit out of my fucking ass, I got to fucking lay down a bunch of makeshift toilet paper to cover my ass from the guy's fucking filth.
Unless they have those tissue paper guards.
They don't a lot of the time, so. I don't feel like they really prioritize those at a lot of gas stations anymore.
Not the ones we frequent.
I wonder what impressions I can do tonight. Can I do the buddy?
Alec Baldwin?
Oh, yeah, Alec Baldwin.
Job from Arrested Development?
Yes. chicken fingers.
With spicy club sauce.
With spicy club sauce. And Alec Baldwin, you're an ungrateful pig. Okay, anyways, though, so do you got anything exciting to report, Adam?
No, just had a great time with the Authorian when he was in town. I always love the fair, so yeah. I'll be going back to that tomorrow. Yeah. I did feel like shit most of yesterday. My voice was gone, just like yours, but I recovered a little bit more quickly, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got Ahsoka to talk about, which we will talk more
We're going to talk about it in depth next week, but what's your initial thoughts on it? I want to make a segment and everything official.
Yeah.
Next week will be a much bigger episode.
I absolutely loved both episodes.
Yeah.
I couldn't, I don't pay that much attention online, but I heard that there's some backlash for some fucking reason.
Really been on Twitter, so I don't know.
I
did tweet twice today.
Hey!
Yeah, let's see how it's doing.
I don't see how there could be backlash. I thought it was perfect.
Well, you watched the first episode here, and then you had to get home. Now, the thing with me was that kind of arose. I did enjoy it thoroughly. I fucking loved the live action. I think for the first time with Rosario Dawson, I really felt she was kind of getting Ahsoka right.
Yeah.
It felt like an older Ahsoka to me. And I think that's part of it was, I mean, we've seen her in an episode of The Mandalorian. We've seen her, you know, a little bit here and there, but we haven't seen any extended screen time, really. We've seen scenes with her. Her most prominent role was in that, was it season one of The Mandalorian or was that season two?
I think season one, she got that, her whole episode.
Yeah, the Jedi.
And then season two, or maybe season two. And then season, the one, yeah.
Boba Fett, she popped in.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Book of Boba Fett, she kind of was overshadowed by the fact that Luke was in that episode too.
Yes. Yeah, and everybody was kind of distracted by the de-aging technology and debating that. So, but no, I mean, for the first time, I really did feel like she was Ahsoka much as she can be.
I saw someone be interviewed online somewhere that was talking about, like, how they felt so bad for Ashley Eckstein because, like, that is Ahsoka. And so, like, the fact that it's not her in that role just feels wrong. But then they did, like, after watching Rosario play the part and, like, realizing, like, oh, she's taking it a different direction. And this is an older version of Ahsoka. And that's the way that she's playing it. They, like, were able to come to terms with it and be like, oh, no, she's doing a phenomenal job with the character.
And we're only two in.
I know.
So let's see how it goes the whole way. But so far, I think it's a pretty good start.
The one observation that I will make right now that I love is we know that Ahsoka is training Sabine as some kind of Jedi. Even though Sabine...
Very clearly, Hu Yang tells her you have, like, the least Force capability of any Jedi Padawan.
She's not Force sensitive. I'm saying it right now. I haven't rewatched it, so I could already be falling flat. I don't think the other apprentice is Force sensitive either. The bad one.
Really?
I don't think that Shin Hati?
The young gal.
I don't think she's Force sensitive either. I don't remember her showing any Force abilities, and I think that's what they're going for with
are the dynamics. Baylan Skoll.
Baylan Skoll and Ahsoka are both fallen Jedi or former Jedi that are training new quote unquote Jedi that are not Force sensitive. And the thing that I think is super interesting is Baylan Skoll is teaching his apprentice the more traditional route because she has a Padawan braid.
Yeah.
Like she has like that. And it seems like they have a much more, I don't know, traditional Jedi apprentice relationship to Ahsoka and Sabine, who seem a little bit more like, well, yeah, we're master and apprentice, but she talks back a lot.
And it should be noted, neither of these two duos are actually Jedi.
Right.
They were Jedi, but they're running their own ship now.
But I think that's an interesting thing that they're going to try to like go into.
Could be a good dynamic.
I do love
Baylan Skoll. He was very cool.
That's just because he's got Skoll in his name, isn't it?
Well, he's also kind of cool. I like kind of how robotic he fought.
Yeah.
As they were charging the rebels, when he was deflecting all those shots, the way he moves is unlike any Jedi I've ever seen. He's got like a robotic.
It's very interesting.
You know, he's got like, it's like very, very to the point. It's very sharp movements, and I enjoyed that. Also, we should note, like, we threw it out on the Discord. I talked to the Athorian man about it. I'm going to go ahead and finish Rebels early. because I have this working theory, or I had it, this working theory that Ryder Azadi was going to be a bad guy, and he's been kind of flirting with complaining a lot lately. And then on my screen, not 10 minutes in, is Ryder Azadi being praised as governor of Lothal.
Which I thought was hilarious.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Because, I mean, the last few episodes we've watched, it's been like more and more they've been hammering home how Ryder Azadi is just complaining and being like, we don't have the people, we don't have this. And yes, yeah, so... also, I saw a Purgil in the sky, and you know, and then we talk about, well, Thrawn's supposed to be dead, but he's not. All this stuff is just kind of, you know, we could continue doing the week to week where I watch the episode and finish it out. We're not that far from the end. The problem is, by the time we end, Ahsoka's about season one of Ahsoka's going to be ending.
Uh-huh.
So it's just for my enjoyment of Ahsoka and the amount of you know, how far we've come in Rebels, and this really is kind of like a Rebels sequel of sorts. We just said, fuck it. And so I have seen all the Rebels episodes. I have seen them all. I watched them all. I didn't watch them with the note-taking intent, so I haven't picked up little things that I will pick up along the way. But I think based on the fact that I named my dog Ahsoka, I think I can get afforded this one little...
You get a pass.
I get this one little favor for the last six episodes of Rebels. So now, the thing with Resistance is Adam hasn't watched Resistance at all.
Not going to either.
And he's not going to. I'm free to watch Resistance all I want. And Lord knows I've tried. But I'm going to try again. I'm going to try to do all of Resistance. I'm sure I'll come to and love it on some level. It's just, I got to be in the right mindset. And when I'm watching the Clone Wars and I'm, you know, watching and reviewing Clone Wars and then I'm watching and reviewing Rebels, it's different.
Yeah.
And so... I think it's good to keep the one show at a time. So as soon as we finish up here during the break, I'm going to be pounding through Resistance.
I'm missing it. So what is the Inquisitor's name in Ahsoka?
Oh, that third guy?
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
I forget his name.
Now, I did look up Shin Hati. It does list her on Wikipedia as Force sensitive.
Okay.
But maybe that changes.
All right.
I mean, this they don't have the end-all, be-all, the knowledge of... Because I'm trying to think about it. I mean, she moves really smoothly. She kicked the shit out of a lot of people. But the only real kill that I remember... I don't remember any real Force stuff when she fought Sabine. I'd have to rewatch it.
It was just all lightsaber.
The only real Force stuff we saw out of them was Baylan when he choked out the captain.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see once we learn more about her.
We'll see. There's another theory going around that... A lot of people are... There's a couple of theories floating around with the Ahsoka show. One is that the Inquisitor is actually Ezra. Have you heard this one?
Oh, Jesus.
A lot of people are floating that one around, that Ezra's actually the Inquisitor.
And so Ezra's 6'4 now?
Yeah.
Because that guy's just as big as Baylan.
Yeah.
Ezra's not 6'4".
He had a growth spurt.
You know what he was doing when he went into, when he went to the world between worlds? He was getting Chinese leg break surgery. Ezra in the world between worlds, he jumped over to another galaxy. Now, a lot of people did say that one of the galaxies they pulled up on that map, it looks like the Milky Way.
Yeah, it does.
I don't think they're... If they went with that, I would... That'd be it. That'd be done. I'd be done with Star Wars.
It would be... Yeah.
No, that actually would
that
be...
That might be a bridge
I don't consider myself one of the ones that hates everything new that's made. I've liked some of it more than the other stuff, but I've never, like, hated it. Like, the toxic fans.
Yeah.
It's just like, if I hated something, I just wouldn't watch it.
Yep.
But that would be a thing that is beyond the pale for me. And I know it's just a fantasy universe, but that's what it is. It's a fantasy. And I don't need to see fucking Ahsoka Tano running through goddamn fucking Hell's Kitchen. Like, I don't need that shit. So I there's just 0% chance that that's what it is. But it did look like a Milky Way galaxy.
Similarly, the thing that I appreciate in Star Wars is no matter how far off track they get, they somehow are able to find some kind of justification for it. And I think that's kind of the fun of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, even if you hate the sequel trilogy, which I don't, like, it happened. And
it's my least favorite trilogy, but so, I don't hate it.
Right. So, yeah. Like, it happened. I don't want to see it erased, and I don't want to see an alternate timeline into being.
I'm not trying to shit on Marvel, but I kind of am. For me, as somebody who was a casual, more of a DC fan for most of his life, but really got invested in the Marvel universe and really loved it. Like, X-Men were always the ones that I love from Marvel. I didn't care about Thanos or Iron Man 10 years ago.
Nobody did.
Nobody fucking did. They, dude, Iron Man, I'm not... He's like a B-plus list that superhero. He's like a shitty Batman.
That is literally the reason why the Avengers came to be, is because Marvel sold off. Marvel was on the verge of bankruptcy in like the 90s.
Yeah.
And they sold off all of the movie rights to their most popular characters.
Yeah.
So that's why like Spider-Man went to Sony, X-Men went to Fox, and
Fantastic Four went to Fox.
Yep. Daredevil, and was that...
That one, I think, was Fox, and then they lost that right or something.
Yeah.
I think the Daredevil with Ben Affleck, which was just dog shit. I think that was Fox.
But that's why when they had...
They fucking nailed it out of the park, though.
When they came up with the MCU, they basically were like, okay, we have all of these B and C tier,
and even like the A-list guys
that we need, we need to create a franchise around, and it was Jon Favreau and a couple other dudes that were like, we can do that. Yeah.
Do you think, like, Hulk, is that an A-list guy? I think he's an A-list superhero. Just because of the look and the size.
Well, I'm not discrediting Hulk, but saying...
No, but I think Hulk is... He's in the Superman, Batman, more than any of those other characters.
I would say Hulk, my opinion, falls into B-tier.
Yeah.
A-tier is Spider-Man, X-Men.
Spider-Man, Fantastic X-Men, Mark. Batman, Superman.
Yep.
And then you got the guys that are B-tier. But Hulk's like a higher B-tier. But Hulk has never been able, when you look at the franchises that have been successful, when it's just individual characters, it's not a greater universe. It's Spider-Man. It's Batman. Superman. You get to the Hulk, and it falls apart. Like, it's not great.
Lou Ferrigno saw some positives in that.
It's a shitty TV show. I mean, it was like 1978, like, you know, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and even like guys like, I don't know, like The Flash. Like, yeah, if you show somebody The Flash logo, they'll probably be like, that's The Flash. But chances are they can't tell you that, you know, it's Barry Gordon or whatever.
Nobody knows his real name.
Yeah. But I can ask pretty much any random person, like, what's Superman's real name?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the difference. Nobody knows who Bruce Banner is. Well, they do now.
Yeah.
Do
you know? So
what was I making the point about?
You know,
I don't even remember. Where did I go with
it? I just thought this was funny. So his name in the shitty 70s TV show with Lou Ferrigno, it's not Bruce Banner. Do you know what it is?
It's probably something dumb like Daniel Banner.
It's David Banner. And do you know why they made that change? Allegedly.
Because Lou Ferrigno couldn't remember the name Bruce.
I have heard this on multiple podcasts.
Not that he would ever be saying it.
I have not taken the time to look it up to corroborate.
So we have another Phil Hartman did the cover of Aja. Here we go.
No, that one's true.
No, it's actually fake.
That one's true.
I don't have the energy to.
But apparently, no. So Bruce, the name Bruce, used to be like a fill-in for gay. Like, the word Bruce was, like, in the, like, I don't know, 60s.
Okay.
Like, there are jokes that, like, Johnny Carson would say, like, yeah, he got caught riding around with a couple guys
David
named
Banner,
Bruce.
David Banner is a beard for Bruce Banner.
It's just, they swapped the name.
I know, it's a joke.
They're like, we can't put a guy named Bruce on primetime TV.
I guess it's not canon, then.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
It's insane.
Isn't it?
This country is... come so far, yet we still have so far to go. I mean, but yeah, no, my thing is, though, with Marvel, it's like I've lost the narrative at this point. It's oversaturated. I'm sure a lot of it's enjoyable, but frankly, it's oversaturated. Like, it was fine when the TV show was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it wasn't necessary to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to get everything else. You watch the movies, and it's great to keep up with movies. But when you throw fucking 10, 15 shows at me, and the only thing appealing about it is I want the She-Hulk to carry me around. Like, that's the most appealing thing for me. It's just, I got burnt out, man. I just got burnt out, and I can't get it back.
Well, once Endgame happened, I mean, they called it Endgame.
Yeah.
It's hard to continue on with the same formula.
Oh, Jesus. What happened to my thing?
I lost my...
Ahsoka's laying on my thing. God damn it.
Where is this?
Where is it? Where? Jesus. We're back.
We're back.
Okay, I googled Balin's skull. And for some reason, people also search for Melissa Joan Hart, David Bedore, I don't know who that is, Rudy Herman Gedde, and A.J. McLean, who is the bad boy in the Backstreet Boys. But yeah, I saw Pergil in the sky. Is it Ezra? You know, we got to go find Ezra and all this stuff. And I'm just, and I do have, after watching them and before I do my notes watch, I do have a lot to say and questions about certain things. So it'll lead to some good discussion regardless. You know, Lesser Zach really had a, he caught up recently. Lesser Zach caught up. The summer catch up. Poor Zetu Costa's got like a winter's worth behind. He's got kids running around. He can't listen to us. Poor Zet. But yeah, as yeah, Lesser Zach had mentioned in the Discord that he had caught up, and he really appreciated our conversation around Twin Sons.
Yes.
Which I do think, I do remember remarking, like, wow, we actually discussed it. And it had been a while since we actually discussed it.
We had something of substance so, to talk about.
But after watching those recent episodes, the well, not the recent episodes, that's after finishing Rebels and looking it over, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And it starts tonight. I mean, this is a great episode. I'm, you know, maybe you're going to give it a 3, and I'm just completely off. But I'm looking forward to Ahsoka, and I'm glad that I get to watch it in the proper lens.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to bring up. The when we were at Cedar Cliff, there was another guy there that was talking about. Oh, I think I they're talking that Ahsoka's going to use the World Between Worlds to go in and stop Luke.
That's what brought this from. Whole, because it's the multiverse shit, yes, that Marvel's doing, and it's just, you know,
it's
the
like
thing is,
everybody has started doing it, and it's just like, if everybody's doing it, it's not,
yes,
like the first or second time, cool. Like even when the new Spider-Man did it in No Way Home, like even that, I
yeah,
was like,
it was
okay,
well done, and
that
it wrapped,
was executed thought, very well,
and it wrapped that, but it wrapped that part up,
yes,
with a bow, and
yes,
it's like,
it
okay, that's cool. Let's just do it once,
yeah.
Like,
but then the Flash does it, and yes, then somebody else does it, and like, it's
and I
not,
can't really comment on the Flash because I haven't seen it. But that's just a testament,
well,
to
that
how
guy's
poorly,
a rapist, allegedly.
I thought he was an abuser.
I think that too.
Yeah, I don't know what that dude's deal is. I don't know much about him, but I have heard that that particular actor is problematic in some ways.
Yes,
I'm not too invested in. What, I don't even know his name. What's his name?
I don't remember.
Ezra something, right?
Yeah,
the lesser Ezra. The lesser Ezra. And that's not a slight on Lesser Zach. Lesser Zach's a great guy. We love Lesser Zach. But, yeah, so I don't know. It's fucking cool. I love it. I really enjoyed the final episodes of Rebels, and I'm looking forward to talking about them once my voice comes back. But, yeah. Oh, and also, Night Sisters are in the fold here, which is very, very exciting. Yeah, so it turns out Morgan Elsbeth is a Night Sister. Which seems nifty that Palpatine probably had one of those laying around.
Yeah.
You know? For all of Dooku's shiftiness with Mother Talzin, Palpatine just was like, well, I can't control her. I'll just get one that I can control.
Yeah.
You know? That's why Palps is the best. Oh, and he might make an appearance coming up soon. I love how he projects as the nice old man.
Isn't it the best?
It's the best. Wizard of Oz ass shit, dude. Okay. Should we get into the Sega Bass Fishing song?
Yes.
Enjoy your fishing. Get a new tournament passport.
It's the Sega Bass Fishing Sound Effect of the Week.
Okay, so the client, he would like to see the baby, and he would like to see sound effect number 101. So, Adam, this is your Sega Bass Fishing Sound Effect of the Week. You ready for this bad boy?
Come on, come on! Try it again!
That looked like the most low energy episode
on,
we've ever
come
had.
On, try it again.
It's the most high energy.
I think anytime I want to get excited,
come
I'll just
on, come on, try it again.
Maybe he's encouraging me to try to do a louder, like you bring my voice up.
Come on, come on, try it again.
Oh, gee. It ain't happening, folks. I'm sorry. If this is painful for you, I totally understand. I'm sorry. It's either this or, like, no episode till like, Friday, so we do what we can. Okay, but that's 101, so the
come
client,
on, come on! Try it again!
Very good. I like that one a lot. That one is giving me the itch to finally turn that bastard on. Yeah, but we're going to move this one along. You ready for the time warp?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
Bah, bah, bah.
Yada da da.
Ciabatta bread.
Okay. All right. So, Rebel Assault, Season 4, Episode 9, aired on November 13th, 2017. Now, exciting news about this. This is the last episode before they took a hiatus. This particular hiatus is going to at least reset the number one song in America, which is still the Post Malone and 21 Savage song, Rockstar.
I cannot. Is this the most in a row that we've had?
We've had a couple that really went. I remember Fireflies went for a long time. Remember that one?
Yeah, but at least I think that got dethroned and then rethroned.
Yeah, it was Lazarus.
Yeah,
it was Lazarus. But yeah, nope. Now, who's my favorite superhero, Adam?
Who's your favorite superhero?
Do you know who my favorite superhero
it's
is?
It's Batman, correct?
Pretty sure it's Batman, yeah. Right? I've always been a big Batman guy. I don't think it's as much as I used to be.
Yeah, our friend Box almost gave you a fucking aneurysm when he said that Kitty Pryde could beat Batman.
Not with them. If you have Krypton. If he survives the first encounter, he won't lose a second time.
I think he did the same thing when Iron Man came out. He was like, Iron Man could beat Batman. And you were like, no, there's no fucking way.
Well, that's not true. Batman would just throw some sort of like EMP pulse at him. The dude would fall to the sky and fucking kill himself. He would do the, you know, in Civil War when War Machine. Yeah, Rhodey. When he does the, that's what Batman would do to him. Like, and if he doesn't have the suit, can you imagine? Can you imagine Tony Stark fighting Batman?
Fighting anybody.
He couldn't fight anyone. He's a pussy. Fucking Tony Stark. Dude, that was literally like, he's one of the biggest superheroes in the world now of like in fandoms. And he was like B-minus list.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Like I knew of him. You knew about him, but I was never like, oh man, Iron Man. And remember when he had the original suit? Just looked like shit. Just the ugliest superhero you've ever seen. Even like the once he got the new suit and it looks great in the movies, but in the comics he just kind of looked like a shitty fire hose with like painted yellow
figure.
All right, I'm shitting on Marvel too. You're right. Okay, I'm being mean. It's great. It's all great. But yeah,
isn't it wonderful?
Now this movie though, this is how far DC films have fallen. I'll tell you this: it's a DC movie, and I'd never bothered to see it in theaters.
Is it a Batman v Superman?
Batman is in it.
Batman is in it.
Yeah.
Is it the first Justice League movie?
It's the first Justice League
movie. Rise of Justice?
Justice League film. That's it. Justice League. There's the director's cut as we all know. So Zack Snyder had to stop in the. He had like a family tragedy, I believe. So Joss Whedon came on and finished. Nobody likes Joss Whedon either. He's also problematic, apparently.
Yep.
Did you ever watch that Firefly?
No, I've heard great things though.
I tried, never got into it a little bit.
He's the Buffy guy, right?
He's the Buffy guy.
He did Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I believe.
Yeah, I think he did Buffy. He did Firefly. Let's see. Yeah. Yep. He did do that. So.
I think I watched the first episode of Firefly, and it seemed intriguing, but like
I've had a few people tell me it's a really good show.
Yeah,
He did co-write Toy Story.
Oh, okay. Apparently. And then Serenity is that the
that's the movie for
Firefly.
And I saw that in theaters because I had a few friends that were Firefly fans. I didn't get half of it, so I was
okay.
Like, they're like, "This was incredible," and I'm like, "What the fuck was this?"
What's his name? The droid from Rogue One.
Alan Tudyk?
Yeah, Alan Tudyk's in Firefly.
Yeah,
prominently.
Yeah. He's one of the crew members, I believe. It also has the gal. Gosh, what's her name? She's married to Ben from the OC now.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking
who's
about?
Actually like a pretty good journalist on cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
Ben McKenzie.
Ben McKenzie. Yes, indeed. Morena Baccarin. I recognize her if I see her. I believe she was Deadpool, the love of Deadpool's life before he had his incident. And then I think he went back. I can't remember how that goes either.
There's another multiverse situation.
Yeah, the whole Fox and like that whole crossover shit, man. And apparently Wolverine's coming back, so that's cool. Wolverine's up there on my list of guys.
That'll be sweet.
Yeah. Although I was kind of, I thought Logan was the perfect end.
It really was.
And now we got fucking money, man. It just, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've been saying it a lot lately. Nothing is fucking pure.
Well,
nothing is pure.
Hugh Jackman can only do Oklahoma so many times.
Go do The Greatest Showman. Do a tour or something. He did do a tour where he sang show tunes.
I would have got... Oh.
It was at the X.
I know. I'm pissed I didn't get tickets. What?
Are we going to go watch Seinfeld complain about doing bits on college campuses?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. So we're going to do a Clonecast Recommends. I'll do mine first because I was kind of just struggling to find one. This song popped in my mind the other day. It's off the Biodome soundtrack. It's a great song. I haven't listened to it in a while. You can't even find it on Spotify. You can only get it on YouTube. It's by a band called Camper Van Beethoven. It's very catchy. You might like it. It's called Good Guys and Bad Guys. So let's take a listen. Love that.
That's
love
nice.
Love that accordion, huh? Or whatever the fuck it is.
Well, there are good guys and there are bad guys. And there are
is that an accordion?
Criminals.
It's, what the hell
there
is that?
There are doctors and there are lawyers. And there are folks like you and me.
I don't know. Oh, that's a fiddle.
Melodica.
God. I like that fiddle in the background.
I drive a car up on the lawn. Let me play your guitar.
All right.
Well, this here verse is for the people in Russia.
All right. So, yeah, that's Camper Van Beethoven.
It's good
guys and bad guys. Which has one of my favorite lines ever. Here, let's take a listen.
Don't understand the words anyway. So just get high.
Just wait. They'll get you. Forgot. It's a pretty good line. And the next time my dad complains about China, I'm going to say this exact line to his face.
I drive your car up on the lawn. Let me play your guitar.
What do you think of it so far?
It's good.
Catchy?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll fast forward. Soka, you got to get out of here. She's just laying directly on my cords. She's cute, though. It's okay. Here we go.
Be glad you live in America.
Right here. Right here.
America, you probably live somewhere else.
That simple. But I like it. I think it's actually obvious statement,
right,
but it's just
the
like they're just fucking people over there. Like, stop. Fuck God. Calm down.
I think that's a melodica. It's
okay.
The same type of tiny piano that you blow into that John Baptiste plays on Stephen Colbert's show.
You know, my dad was all worried about the Timberwolves have a player, Kyle Anderson, who has some Chinese heritage. And so he's playing for China in the World Cup of basketball that's going on right now. And my dad was really concerned about it. And I've told my dad 1,000 times, I was like, there is a real mutual need for both of these countries.
Yeah.
And we had mentioned that we're in the Vikings team store at the Vikings game. And every single thing, made in China, made in China. And it's horribly overpriced. It's like $120 for like a shitty shirt.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, imagine if it wasn't made in China.
Yep.
That shirt would be $500. It's just, there is a shared need between the two countries. And so any of this like posturing and shit, it all comes up as just bluster to me.
Yeah.
It just seems like a bunch of big dick contests when really, like, I can't fathom what a war between China and the United States would mean for both countries' economies.
We are two giant markets and two giant producers.
Yes.
Like, what would happen if one of us decided, no,
And, you know, we buy, like, everything from them.
Yes.
It's just, whatever. I'm not a global whatever guy. You know?
Globalist?
A globalist? No, that's not it, man. I'm probably more of a globalist.
Yeah.
Borders are dumb. Oh, gross. You're from Canada?
This other place that arbitrarily is different for some reason.
That's exactly like Minnesota. I'm sure you could plot me down in, like, goddamn fucking, I don't know, the middle of downtown Calgary, and I'd be like, where am I? Is this Omaha? Am I in Omaha? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, Winnipeg can't be that different.
Yeah. Winnipeg's probably like St. Paul, I bet.
Yep.
I would be able to tell it's not St. Paul or Minneapolis, but I'd probably be like, this is Tulsa.
Yeah. Somewhere in the Midwest.
It's the same fucking country. Anyways, yeah, so just be glad that you live in America, because if you didn't live in America, you'd probably live somewhere else. And then I guess America would be bad. So
yep.
That's the point. Okay, Adam, what do you want to say about yours?
So my song, I can't remember if you have played this for me or not, or if it maybe even popped up in this, but it came to memory because of the song that you had me play when we were on the way to pick up the Authorian Historian.
Ah.
You had said you were recently obsessed with a song that you were
convinced. Which I declined to use in this week's Clonecast Recommends because I'm tired of it.
You were convinced was Paul McCartney, just under a pseudonym.
He's ghostwriting.
So I had a similar feeling.
He has written a lot of songs that he hasn't taken credit for.
I had a similar feeling when I heard this song.
Okay, let's take a listen. Is it Badfinger?
Nope.
I like it. Have I heard this?
I don't know.
This sounds like John. That's Paul. Paul's, he's hiding. What's Paul's pseudonym here? Who is this? Oh, my God. Make it last forever. This is what happens when a guy inspires an entire generation of boomers. Put it away. That's such a Paul thing to say.
Hey, put it away, brother.
Put a little.
Who is this?
This is a band called Innovations.
It's Paul.
They are from Peru.
It's Paul.
Put a Little Away is the name of the song.
It's Paul McMendez.
It is a Peruvian psychedelic band. Hell from yeah. 1977.
Did this come on your Discover Weekly or something?
Yeah. Yep.
He asked for money.
Listen to this.
He asked for money.
Don't you think? Ghost written at least.
Yeah, it sounds very Paul-like. Once it's so bad,
it's still. Are they active, I don't know.
I like it. It's good.
It's another solid hit from the Discovery playlist.
Yeah. Discover playlist been doing better lately.
Yeah.
Really getting together. Alrighty. So that is your Clonecast Time Warp, your Clonecast Recommends. I want to take a little breather on the throat for a second, drink some water. We're going to take a break. Should we get into the episode
let's
then?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Listen to the Clonecast on Wednesdays. That's what you sing along. Each new segment's a blast. As they say, whatever they
come on, come on, try it again.
All right, let's get it together.
That'll get you pushed through. Up.
As amped up as I can be. Maybe I shouldn't have been talking during the break. Okay, and it doesn't help that I don't have an audio clip for the first half of this episode because it's like all action out the gate.
It really is.
And it's good action. Now, we had mentioned last week, we haven't seen any good X-Wing action, and right away,
boy, it's
Yeah.
5 seconds into the episode.
The Pergill heard your call, my friend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They woo, and they bring you an X-Wing.
It is legitimately the first time we've seen an X-Wing.
In Rebels. Yeah.
They come out of nowhere.
They got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Well, not for long.
Yeah.
They lose them pretty quick. This damn snuff film. So, yeah, they're going to be storming this blockade that they got here on Lothal. They got to get these Y-Wings through.
It's one hell of a fleet.
It is.
The fleet presence they got there.
It is a good fleet presence. So they're massively outnumbered. And really what they're trying to do is they're trying to hit the Imperial Fuel Depot. So stop the Imperial War Machine. You take away their fuel. They can't power the war machine. Lothal can rise up. It's actually probably the biggest operation that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
When you think about the goals of it.
And it is nuts that it just took one inspiring speech from Hera to convince everyone. All right, fine, let's go.
Yeah. Bail got his balls back. So. Bail, that was the least I've ever liked Bail last episode. I don't even think we talked about it, but he was just so, everybody is so dour and kind of defeated about it all. It's like, well, we're in an open war here, so what do you want to do? I mean, are we just supposed to hide forever and... Eventually, you got to do something that's really going to make it hurt.
See, this is why every once in a while you need someone like Saw.
That's true. I wonder what he's up to right now.
There have been a couple of moments in the last few episodes where I've thought, like, this shit wouldn't be happening if Saw was here.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. You could also make the argument that Saw probably would have up and got himself fucking killed
if
he had the resources that this particular part of the rebellion does.
Also, based off of the last episode of The Bad Batch... Like, it comes with consequences,
yes.
too.
Yes. So they got to break this blockade to get these Y-Wings through. Thrawn is setting up the blockade, so good fucking luck. And Thrawn immediately is like, oh, they're going for the fuel depot. And so he sends the fighters, and he also sends out Scarris, who, as we know, is the top Imperial pilot outside of that bartender at Old Joe's. And he's going to be flying that TIE Advance, the new nifty one. He's got it.
Defender.
TIE Defender, yeah. So we get to the surface, though, and it's a two-way. As we know, Hera got through last week. They finally got a signal out to her. And so this is a ground assault and an aerial assault, and the ground assault is much more covert. We got the rebels. We got everybody basically from the ghost crew besides Hera. They're out planning charges. Well, Chopper's with Hera as well in the X-Wing.
I love Chopper being in a fighter. Seeing him in a fighter is really cool.
And you can tell Chopper's hype for the war.
Do you think he prefers a Y-Wing because that's what he's used to? Or he crash-landed in that, so maybe he prefers an X-Wing?
Yeah, I got to feel this X-Wing crash that they have probably gives him a little post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty harrowing. It's amazing that they even survive it, to be honest. But, I'm guessing Chopper's a Y-Wing guy, much like myself. Big Y-Wing guy over here, like the Y. It's a good-looking ship.
Yep.
I put that X-Wing up for sale on eBay.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to cancel it. I think I'm going to keep it. These episodes got me hyped about Star Wars like I haven't been in a few months.
Yeah. It is like, I think the Y-Wing, it was very underappreciated for me until, speaking of the title of the episode, when I started playing Rebel Assault on Nintendo 64 and you could fly the Y-Wing, that's when I was like, oh, this is a cool fucking ship.
Love the Y-Wing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the Y-Wing has less agility than an X-Wing. The X-Wing's got more maneuverability.
At least in the Rebel Assault video game, it was described as the workhorse of the Rebel fleet.
Okay. Whatever the fuck that means.
It's less maneuverable. It's not as fast, but it has shields and it packs a punch.
It's like that 97 Geo Metro. It gets you from point A to point B.
Yeah.
May not be pretty, but it gets the fucking job done.
And it carries a payload.
But I will say, I think Y-Wings are pretty.
They are.
I like them. I love the nacelles on
them.
They're
elegant.
Yeah. I think the reason that I like them so much is because they're light. The engines are those nacelles. And that reminds me a lot of Star Trek, which has my favorite ships. All those ships have warp nacelles. So anyways, they're planning charges on the surface there. And we also have Ryder Azadi planning charges on a different part of this base, this fuel depot.
So if you hadn't have watched the rest of Rebels, would you still be on your whole Ryder Azadi is going to bail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty heavy in this episode. And then, like, the old switcheroo that they pull, we'll talk about in a few episodes, but I was just like, Did Ezra pull him to the side and say, hey, be a dick for a while? I don't know. We'll talk about it when it comes up, though. But so they're all playing these charges, and Zeb does remark to Sabine, like, when we detonate this, is this going to work? Because these turrets that they're planning them on are fucking huge. They're like aerial defense turrets. They're huge laser turrets. And Sabine's like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Because it's just the little charges that we've seen from Sabine. And I don't know. It's kind of like a controlled explosion. So kind of like Building 7 on 9/11.
Yeah. Controlled demolition.
Controlled demolition. Sabine knows all about the controlled
demolition. Do you think
there
were gold reserves inside of this building as well?
Most likely.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's what they were going for.
This is where Rudy Giuliani had his covert love nest also.
Man, speaking of that fucking guy. There's a lot to talk about on that fucking front, man. That guy's something else.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. When the voice comes back, we'll have to dive into the indictments.
America's mayor.
Yeah, America's mayor. When he fought Will Ferrell dressed as Janet Reno on Saturday Night Live. And now he's got messages out to like his interns and stuff talking about how he owns their tits. Which is a very interesting thing to say to a woman. Even if this is like role play that she's into, I don't think I could bring myself to be like, those are my tits. I don't think I could do that. I could, like, it's like if they called me daddy or something, I would immediately like throw myself from the car.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. I couldn't do it.
I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Show me those beautiful tits. They're my tits. Nobody gets them. Fucking dude's like 84. He's leaking Just for Men out of his fucking head at all times as soon as he starts to sweat. And he's just, oh, what a depraved individual.
It's amazing, the story arc that guy's been
on. Just from top of the world to just rock bottom.
Like, it is, like, some of the stuff that has happened with that guy, like, you could not write it. Like, it would not, like, they would not pass what you're writing because it's too ridiculous.
Well, just like the landscaping press conference is so absurd.
The Four Seasons.
Yeah. Just a fucking idiot. That's why somebody who's mayor of New York will never be president. Like Eric Adams, could you imagine him running for president? Him versus Trump would be funny as hell.
That would be the greatest.
Who could lie more? You know?
Yep.
Who could tell the most grandiose tales? Although we should mention 6'3", 215 is probably one of the funniest things I've ever fucking heard. I mean, good
He's
Lord.
He's got my same build.
Yeah. He's felt, man.
Yeah.
Dude, he's 215 in his fucking ass, all right? Like,
that guy's got a dumper.
Yeah, he does.
That shot of him playing tennis, it's one of the best.
Yeah.
Where you see his big dumper.
Yeah. I don't know. But some of the memes that I did see, especially on like sports Twitter, it was like 6'3", 215, and then shows like him next to Shohei Ohtani, who's just like 10% body fat, same height, 210, you know? And it's just the fact that he self-reported it. And then also, when he turned himself in the New York one, he self-reported as 6'2", so he's grown an inch as well. It's a miracle. The 75-year-old man is still growing.
Well, when he was president, he had that one doctor that came out and gave the press conference about what a healthy boy he
was. That guy who looked like he cooked fucking drugs for Jerry Garcia?
Yes, yeah. That guy. Or no, different guy. This guy was like a younger doctor.
The one that is a representative from Texas now.
Yes, yeah.
And he just had a big thing where he got in trouble with like the Texas state troopers. Because he was like, do you know who I am?
Yep.
Whatever.
But that guy, he reported on Trump, and I think his weight was like 235, and he was reported as like 6'2", and people were still like, that's fucking crazy.
There's no way he's 235. And
now they're just like,
no, honestly,
dropping the weight continuously.
There's just not. I mean, the guy is definitely close to 300 pounds, if he's not. And I don't doubt that he's 6'2 or 6'3.
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
He's tall. I mean, look at his fucking kid. The guy's a goddamn giraffe.
Oh, my God. That's some weird blood in there.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's his son. I think that's the son of a Latvian basketball player or something like
that. No, you look at that face.
Yeah, I know.
That is Trump's kid.
He is a Sasquatch, though.
He is.
He's a huge boy.
Parents like 6'7". That's
is that
insane.
What he's at right now? Well, I mean, Melania, I'm assuming, has tall parents. She's tall.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm guessing, yeah, you know. But anyways, but 6'3", 215. How can anybody hear that if you're a fan of Trump and just not be like, this guy is just deranged? Like, that's just the saddest thing. Like, at least give us something plausible, you know?
He is living up to what he has lived his entire life as, which is just lie your ass off and never admit defeat.
Yeah.
He's taken it to the grave.
The guy is literally just a professional bullshit con
artist. It's literally, he looks people in the eye and he was like, yeah, I'm lying. Tell me I'm not. Like, he leaves it up to you. He was like, your move. I'm going to make up the biggest lie possible. Your move. You got it. You're the one that has to, like, combat this.
Trial is apparently set to begin the day before Super Tuesday.
Yep.
So we will have a lot to talk about when that rolls around. I don't know. We'll talk more about the Trump stuff next episode. I got to move it along here with my voice. So they're playing all these charges. We get to Hera. She's giving orders. We have the unfortunate honor to be blessed with Mart Madigan is back. He is Phoenix. He's listed as Phoenix number 2. And it also reminded me, they have a 16-year-old fighting in this war.
Uh-huh.
He's like a fucking kid.
Hey, they're rebels. They can't. They got to loosen up the sign-up requirements.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I don't know. When I think of 16-year-olds fighting in open warfare, the only thing that comes to mind is a certain youth group that is very problematic. He's listed as Phoenix 2. We see Scaris enter the fight. There's a guy by the name of Phoenix 3, and his call sign is Duke. Duke burns. He goes down.
In my notes, I wrote down, who the fuck is Duke?
You know, they give him a name, and so you're like, oh, maybe he's going to be like a guy we see for a few episodes. Like, he's a hot shot pilot. Duke lasts about 20 seconds after you find out his name is Duke. He gets taken out pretty quick. Hera then falls back because Phoenix 4, who goes by the name of Klink.
Cleet.
Oh, it was Cleet.
Cleet.
I was all ready to talk about Klink the robot.
I know. I miss Klink, too.
I do miss Klink.
Yep.
Go back to Ondoran. Let's get Klink. Get Klink on board. That poor Klink. He's sitting there selling that popcorn stand stuff still.
He was so
ready.
He was so ready and willing.
The guy is good around a machine. The guy's an engineer. Bring back Klink. So Cleet?
Cleet.
Like a football cleat?
Yes.
Well, that's just stupid. So she takes some damage, loses shields. Hera gets behind. She's being chased by two Ties and Scaris in the Tie Advanced. What is it?
Tie Defender.
God, I don't know shit. The Tie Defender. And just as Hera comes in to save her, she gets taken out, so she's gone. We got two kills right away. Dogfight is not going
like,
well.
After we just spent a couple of seconds like really getting to know these people, they're part of the squad now.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be like a special squad, but they're all just wiped out.
It's like how you don't like they very famously don't name lab mice. Like they don't give them names; they're just numbers because eventually you got to cut those things open.
I don't like the sound of that. So Hera can't save Klink in time though, but Hera does manage to get behind the two TIE fighters and takes him out. She's up. We're gonna go back to Ezra and Zeb. They're finished planting charges. Zeb demands to drive the motorbike after Ezra's like, hey, hop on after he plants last charge. He's like, no, I don't hop on, I drive. They're back to their brother thing.
Zeb picks him up like he's a 2-year-old wearing suspenders. Yeah. He just grabs him and puts him on the back of the bike.
Yep. So Sabine triggers the detonation. We see Royce. Price, excuse me. Complaining to Thrawn about the defenses. Thrawn's pretty confident. Man, we're going to have to take a break.
Those greedy Weasley bastards.
Shut up, Adam. Shut up. Is that legendary rock and roll singer Gary U.S. Bonds? Gary, my man, what? We're big fans. How you doing? What's going on?
Oh, it's great to meet a fan.
What brings you to Minnesota?
I'm in Minnesota. I'm at Irma's Finland House, right out of Wake.
Irma's Finland House, you say. Now, where's this located?
Virginia.
Virginia, Minnesota. Okay. Now, I don't know. The Clone Castanovas are kind of all over the place. I mean, can they order online?
Yeah.
Oh, they can. Where can they order?
Irma's Finland House.
Irma'sFinlandHouse.com, you say. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I really like where this is going. But What if they're out of work? Wait, there's a Clonecast promo code?
Yeah, Clonecast Pod.
Courtesy of Gary M.N. Bonds, your blood brother? Incredible.
Wait.
So even if they're out of work, they can get a discount.
Out of work? Get a discount.
Nice. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. We'd love to have you on the show sometime.
Absolute. Star Wars. Work.
All right, well, ErmasFinlandHouse.com and use the promo code CLONECAST for 10% off your purchase.
Okay, so hopefully my voice holds for the remainder of this episode. I'll take a little break there. So, yeah, they all break through, and Price is seen complaining to Thrawn about her defenses. Thrawn's confident that the defenses will hold. We see Scaris chasing Hera, and Hera decides to just charge in close to the ships. So she's going to charge in close to the destroyers. Thrawn immediately orders Scaris to back off. Just stop pursuing her. Scaris says, no, I can. I got a shot. I got to go in here. And Thrawn orders them to fire.
Thrawn very defeatedly says, how unfortunate.
Yeah, because he's falling. He says he's falling right into Syndulla's trap.
Yeah.
Hera and Scaris both take damage from the Star Destroyer firing at them.
It does look like they fired ion shots because they both like power down, and it's not.
It just disables shields.
Yeah.
Hera just does manage to destroy this giant observation tower as she's flying in there, so she gets a really good shot off. And she uses the explosion as a distraction to flank Scaris, and she manages to take out two of his wings. And then
she does it while the S-foils are folded, too.
Yeah, it's very cool. The rebels are able to break through at that point then. So Scaris loses control, and he just crashes right into a light cruiser. And Adam, I took a picture today, and I want to show it to you. So when I was doing my notes review of the episode, I yawned kind of at this point. I just stretched out my arms because I was laying down, and I accidentally hit the pause button on my remote. And I want to show you the exact moment where I paused. Just the big explosion.
It is perfect.
It is perfect. That might be the episode art. Anyways.
It's a beautiful shot.
So Thrawn orders a second wave to take him out in the as they enter the atmosphere.
I was hoping I was hoping that the spot that you paused was going to be a couple of frames later when a rebel cheerleader goes,
"Hah!" Yeah, no. yeah, that was the dog guy, right?
Yeah.
So we got what we tried to figure out the species before we went on air.
I tried to find a name. I tried to find a species.
He's in the twice. He does a cheer, and then he does have like a weird line where he's like, and then he also is one of the rebel pilots that gets captured by the Empire.
Yeah.
So we don't really know his fate. I don't think they probably don't keep him around. I don't know if he's got.
It's like right when that light cruiser hits the next Star Destroyer, he's like, "Hurrah!"
But I think he's a Clatoonian. I don't know. He's got a dog face, but there's no name. There's nothing. So we're just going with Clatoonian.
Got a fucking dog face.
Got a fucking dog face. But we finally have made it to our first audio clip, so I can rest these pipes. We're gonna check in with Ezra and the rest of the Ghost crew, and they're like, "Well, we should be seeing him coming into the atmosphere soon. They broke through a little while ago, Unfortunately, Thrawn's second wave really does do a number on him. Let's take a listen to this clip.
We should be seeing them any minute now.
There, look. Here they come.
What are those?
Is that?
The entire attack force.
They're all just crashing, burning into Lethal City.
It's like the Space Shuttle Columbia out there.
Ooh.
The entire rebel strike force was destroyed. However, reports indicate that a few ships managed to crash land in or near Capital City, including the one flown by the flight leader.
And the Imperial factory?
Undamaged, sir.
Ah. Rohan, rebel pilots may have survived the attack. Capture them alive, if possible. Captain Syndulla, in particular.
It will be done, Grand Admiral.
Yeah, so we still got to deal with this stupid fucker.
I love how he says Rook.
Yeah, he says Rook. He doesn't say Rook. It's probably Thrawn. Probably you know, studied the culture of those people, so yeah. He knows the dialect properly
for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely getting it wrong, so we'll call him Rook. But yeah, so we do have Rook. I don't know, man. This guy has just been a thorn in the side of everybody for the last three episodes.
He is
now.
Effective.
He really is. I don't know about this guy, though. I don't like this son of a bitch. I wonder if somebody's going to kill him. That would be great. I'd like that a lot, to be honest with you. I really would. But anyways, yeah, so Rook is going out on the hunt. Lothal City's just burning to the ground as he sings this joyously. They're gonna see a bunch. Now we get back to the rebels again, and it's gonna be our next clip. They're gonna be kind of watching everything on some binoculars, but then they see the cool police fucking shuttles come out, the ones from Coruscant back in the day. And that is gonna be our next clip. We also have Hera coming too in the crash with Chopper, and we got what I thought was probably Kanan's coolest moment yet. So let's take a listen to this clip.
We've got gunships incoming.
Hera! Hera, do you read me? Hera!
We have to go before they spot
us. Shut the fuck up. See? Kanan, I was literally on this guy's shit. And then I just... Bah!
We will find her, Kanan. I promise.
Chopper? The Empire's coming. You have to go, now! Cut through the market toward the East Gate. Hurry! Thank you.
John Stossel guy again.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about that. He's, John Stossel guy apparently left the Rebellion pretty quick and went back to citizen life.
Sorry, buddy.
Chopper's little transmitter's broken.
As soon as we get out of here.
So, some search vehicles flew over. They escaped, though. Didn't see them.
I'm going back. I have to do this.
I understand. We'll see you back at base.
Ezra, we should...
If anyone can save Hera, he can. Let's go.
Ah! From a deep slumber.
So Jedi Knight Kanan Jarrus is going back for his lady. Love it. Too bad he's going to end up with Matt Mardigan. I mean, I don't have the energy to really shit on Matt Mardigan too much in this episode, but he fucking sucks. We'll talk about it briefly here.
He did the bare minimum of what was expected of him.
Well...
And nothing else.
I have some real questions about his ability with a rifle. Because the results are wildly different in two scenes. But yeah, so we see bringing a prisoner to Price, one of these pilots he's captured. And it's our favorite Clatoonian.
The cheerleader.
The cheerleader guy. He's brave. He doesn't speak basic or whatever, English, whatever you want to call it. Whatever they call it. But he's like, you know, he makes the noises and stuff. And, I feel really bad for this guy in this scene because he's taken in front of Price and then he gets taken away for interrogation. And I'm just like, dude's got 20 minutes of hell in his future. And then they're just going to take him out. I mean, I feel so bad for this guy.
Yep.
He's so brave. I love this dog man.
Uh-huh.
I love brave Clatoonian dog man pilot cheerleader. He's definitely making the power rankings. I love this fucking guy. That was so sad.
I know.
I feel so bad for this guy. He's got a family of pups at home. Doesn't he? Don't you think he's probably got dogs at home?
Yeah, at least six of them.
Man. dogs with opposable thumbs. That's fucking nuts. We're getting nuts here on Rebels, man. So we get to, we see them taking him away. The Imperials report to Price, some stormtroopers, that the captain's ship, or the leader's ship, excuse me, was found. But there's no sign of her or the astromech. Price is like, it's Syndulla, orders a full lockdown until she is found. So we get back to Hera and Chopper, and they're kind of sneaking around, and they overhear a noise. And it's a distress signal that's being sent out, a rebel distress signal, and it's not too far from where they're at. And it's going to be our next clip. We meet another poor, unfortunate soul who I felt so bad. All right, here we go.
If we move fast, we can get through that barricade before reinforcements arrive. Ready? That's a distress call. Sounds like one of ours. It's close. Come on.
So we see an astromech protecting his pilot.
Pyramid Head, too.
Pyramid Head.
Just immobilize it.
No!
Damn, man, he's gone.
Stay here. Mart, are you okay?
I think so, General. I'm in one piece anyway.
Don't move!
Thanks, Chop.
So Hera takes him out, long story short.
But if we're going to get through this, I need that droid's transmitter so that Chopper can send a signal to get us help.
That's okay. R3 would want to help us.
Okay, so that's Matt Mardigan, who, as we all know, sucks ass and probably is one of my least liked characters. Mart Matten, I should say.
Mart. Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter. He sucks. He sucks so much ass. God, he sucks. He's just a lug. He brings nothing to the table. The only thing he brought to the table in this episode was getting the poor Pyramid Head killed. And apparently this droid was in Iron Squadron, but I have mentally blocked out that entire fucking episode. Because I'm pretty sure I praised him in that episode as being the only bearable thing from the Iron Squadron. They had that one gal. I don't remember anything about her.
In the potato.
I do remember the potato just because he was so bland that he was memorable. Like, he's the most boring mold of a fucking human that you've ever seen. He was like an unfinished character that they didn't even put, like, eyebrows or anything on yet. He's just a potato.
What's unfortunate, though, is his sucking has overshadowed the fact that Chopper just flew into a stormtrooper and takes him the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still playing fast and loose with how much this armor actually does. And the answer is, when convenient, nothing, because Chopper just slowly hits him and knocks him out cold. So Hera has rescued Mart Matten, former leader of Iron Squadron. I wonder if he's still in touch with the potato. Oh, yeah, and we did forget to mention, you did say it while the clip was on, but I do want to bring it up again. We do see John Stossel guy. He's part of a group of people telling them to get out of there because
he's
the
Empire is
coming.
Now.
Yeah, like... Yes, we will fight. We will fight. To a week later, I'm hiding. You should hide. So I think he wanted to go back home to his British wife.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she has a lovely voice, that woman. I'm assuming they're together. But there is a third person there, which leads me to believe we may have another bull situation going on here.
Could be.
They could have been coming home from old Joe's after a long night at the bar, and all of a sudden all these X-Wings are crashing.
We know
the
nothing
sky.
About Lothal's culture. Yeah. This might just be baked into it.
It'd be really funny if we would have saw John Stossel guy whisper in her ear something. And then they're like, well, we could give you shelter if you'd like. You know, and then it's just a sex den.
Uh-huh.
That John Stossel guy. But yeah. So Mart Matten has been rescued, and they are taking poor R3's memory banks. I feel so bad for R3, man. R3.
He went down fighting.
R3 and Brave Dog Pilot Guy. I mean, come on. Real, really, really just the definition of your Dark Horse hero here in the Clone Wars. They're so good. They're so good that I'm going to give them this.
Now it's over.
Two of the best just shit fucking glup shitto characters that we've had in this season thus far. Just great guys, just hanging out. Uh-huh. John Stossel guy appearing. This episode's got it all. It's got it all. We see Rook. He's sniffing around the city, just doing his, you know, like I'm
half. Half of this episode was just the camera watching Rook
sniff,
like go over rooftops and stuff. Yeah,
this was really action heavy episode. Like there is dialogue, but it's one of the reasons I didn't have a clip for so long is this starts with like a 5-minute battle. You know, I mean, this is a really
gets off quick.
Yeah. We see him sniffing around. We see Chopper getting an upgrade. He's getting R3's old transmitter put on. It looks sharp. It's like a mushroom or something.
It looks like a yarmulke.
Yeah.
Chopper looks like he's Jewish in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wonder.
He's one of the saved people.
How old do you think Chopper is?
I don't know.
Over 13?
100?
I wanted to throw him a bar mitzvah.
Oh.
Now that he's converted.
He's definitely due now.
Yeah, he's due. Yeah. So next week on the CloneCast, Chopper's bar mitzvah. I'm going to have to look up like the Jewish tradition of what they do at bar mitzvahs.
What if
do we have any Jewish listeners?
If memory serves.
Is Isaac caught up? I need information on the bar mitzvah for Chopper.
When a boy becomes a man in the Jewish faith, you get to throw a party at a banquet hall, and the boy chooses the theme. And I think like 95% of the time it's baseball. So Okay. Maybe Chopper is a big baseball fan.
No, I think Chopper's theme is the bloodlust. but maybe we'll have something for him. I don't know. This is the kind of thing that I guarantee, and then a week later, I've convinced myself not to do anything with it. So maybe no promises on that one. If I get ample bar mitzvah information from a CloneCast DeNova out there that knows about this sort of thing, then maybe I'll honor Chopper in a certain way. Let's see here. So Chopper gets his upgrade, tries sending out a signal, but frequencies are being jammed by the Empire. It's at this point that Rook jumps down from a building and into the streets and engages Hera in a fight.
Hell of a fight, too.
Hera is a very well-trained fighter, which we've come to learn here. Hera's no fucking joke. Anybody that is fucking Cham Syndulla's daughter is going to be able to throw the fuck down.
Uh-huh.
And she can. We've seen Rook kick ass, and Hera holds her own.
Do you think Cham's going to show up in Ahsoka?
That'd be hilarious.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, Ahsoka farted now. This night keeps getting better. Do you smell that?
Yeah.
That is a...
She's right by me.
Oh, I shouldn't have bought those clearance treats at the gas station. They had these like clearance beef sticks, and I was just like, oh, whatever. She'll like it.
Clearance comes at a price.
Yeah. That's big gas power. It's a good thing we're going to be done early. I'll hopefully get her off for another walk tonight. Let's get a move on here. They fight, and then there's a chase. They lose him for a minute. I don't know how they lose him with his smelling ability, and he's right on top of them. But he's just a fucking idiot, I guess.
I feel like they really demonstrate Rook's like stature in this episode more so than last episode.
Yeah, he's running all fours a lot. He's very Doug-like in a sense. I mean, he's primate because he's, you know, but he's also kind of...
He's very short.
He's very short, and he runs on all fours. He can move, though, man. He can move. Yeah, he's a galloper. So they have a good little fight, but then they bail. They lose him in the streets. Chopper is going to be locating the nearest sewer hatch. They get outside there, and suddenly Rook engages them again, jumps down and starts fighting. Hera is really... really holding her own, but she's also injured from the crash, and she's been like really favoring like her left shoulder, like she's been slumped over when she's running. So she's fighting shorthanded here. She's not at full strength, but she's holding her own with Rook. But Rook does manage to pick her up and just slam her into the ground, and he's about to go. He ignites his little vibro staff, his electro staff. And I was told that he was supposed to bring them in alive.
He was, yeah.
But they're really playing it up like he was about to just kill her. Isn't that the vibe you got from it? But, Matt Matten, he got knocked out like immediately. Like
Marley
Rook,
Matlin?
Yeah, Rook fucking chucked his ass like immediately, just no chance. Rook's about to just, stab Hera with his vibro electro staff thing. And then all of a sudden, Chopper from behind with the full high voltage electricity starts shocking him. Really great. Cook him up a little bit. But then, after Chopper's done shocking him, Mark Madigan misses two shots. Rook is not even facing him. He misses two shots at like 3 feet away with a fucking rifle. Are you fucking kidding me? Loser. You are useless. Fucking useless.
Oh, there's more than two shots. He misses like five of them.
Well, yeah, then Rook. But those are just the two shots before Rook starts jumping away all, you know, with
like
all
a
full agility.
Ring-tailed lemur.
Yeah, I mean, but he's literally right behind him and just missing, I don't know, it's got to be two or three shots at point-blank range. And I just was like, he was very non-offensive to me in this episode until that moment. And then I was just like, oh, yeah, this dude fucking sucks. He fucking sucks. I hate him. I hate Mark Matten. Worst character in all of Star Wars. Is that a little much?
No.
Why do I hate him so much?
I don't know.
He's just
he is annoying. I'll give that much to you.
Yeah. So we cut to Kanan, and he's having like a Born to be Wild moment, riding alone on the Lothal
Freeway.
They
really need more than one road.
Yeah.
And even in Ahsoka, it's one fucking road.
Well, that's just the road that leads out. I mean, inside the city, there's streets.
Yeah.
It must be like 95% of Lothal lives.
But during rush hour, that one road has got to be just jam-packed.
Not if they all live within the city limits. I think everybody, I'm the population density expert, okay? And when I look at Lothal, I see a city that is densely populated in the downtown area.
Uh-huh.
And then outside, the farmers, that's it. So the only road you need is that one road, in and out.
Yeah, but the farmers got to come in to trade their goods.
Yeah. Well, the other half of the planet's already burnt by the Empire, so that road is leading to the one part. It's all working out. Maybe there's another side to the road. Do we know if the road just encompasses the whole planet all the way around? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Remember that fucking Neom? Man, that guy's a real dumbass.
Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, fuck those guys. What's his name?
Mohammed bin Salm.
The Salm?
Yeah.
Salman. Salman. Yeah. I told you about the elder Salman shit his pants in a pool, right?
Yeah.
Did I tell you about that? Yeah. I just have to say that every time.
I think
time
that was at least
up.
A year and a half ago, but yes, we did mention that.
Yeah. I read a book on that family, man. Man, this country's got some fucked up allies, all right?
Those are our best friends.
Our best friends. Remember when Trump was dancing with the scimitar?
He was dancing with the scimitar and then had his hand on the orb at the same time as those.
Ah, guys. Yes, the orb of friendship. Have you ever touched an orb of friendship, Adam? Have you ever?
We need one.
Yeah, we need an orb of friendship. I think as soon as we have an orb of friendship, we'll become supervillains. The first time you touch that, even if you're like the most pure, we should see what happens if Maddie K touches an orb.
That is what happened with those guys. If you look at the photo,
the power, some sort of power is transferred. Trump was really America first. He was really a great guy until he touched that orb. Everybody knows how awesome Trump was before the orb. It really fucked with his head, man. It's sad. Why aren't we holding them to account for transferring the bad information to Trump?
There's BO and after O.
Yeah. Post-orb Trump, AO, not good. BO Trump, also not good. Okay, that's a dumb bit. That didn't go. We should have just left it. Have you ever touched an orb? Sometimes we run with things a little long. I think that's also how the episodes end up 3 hours. Let's see here. Kanan, all of a sudden, though, he sees a Loth Wolf in the middle of the road, and he just does a hard stop.
He
and
drops his bike.
It. Yeah, And somehow survives. He's not wearing a helmet. This is like
he does a tumble though.
He does a tumble. He does but it's gonna lead us to our next clip, which if you have the context of the show is really cool. But if you don't have the context and you just watch this, you'd be like, what the fuck? So let's take a listen.
Where are you?
The Loth Wolf disappears when he gets up and he's like, where'd he go?
I don't have time for this. If you wanna help, fine. Otherwise,
goes to pick up the bike,
my way.
Turns around, and it's right in his face.
He is still blind, too.
What do you want?
A
takes off his mask.
What must I do?
All right. So just think about that as somebody who doesn't know anything about Star Wars. And a guy is cut off on a highway by a large wolf who simply says doom to him. And he goes, takes his mask off all serious and goes, I know what I must do.
I understand.
It's like, what? So, I mean, I like that. I can appreciate it because it only works for somebody who's into Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
That's it. I mean, even somebody who's just seen the movies be like, what the fuck was that?
He's also being flanked by the two lesser gray loth wolves, too.
Lesser loths.
Yeah.
I'll respect them one of these days. But so far, we haven't got too much cool action out of them. Although they did have Zeb riding on them.
That is true.
Zeb was scared shitless of that. Zeb's like me on that zipper thing that goes across the fair. I hated that fucking thing. We'll have to have the Authorian man comment on the things I was saying when I was scared.
I really wish I could have been in that car. I was like, you guys,
that fucking son of a bitch. He always makes me do things I don't want to do. I fucking hate him.
We got across the fair in record time, though.
I could have run there fucking 15 times and back. I could have walked.
That's a lie, and you know it.
No, it's not. I could have gone there so many fucking times in that amount of time. All right, anyways, let's move on. That's for the next episode. People don't have any idea what we're even talking about until we get into it. So we see this hatch that they come to. It's guarded by Imperials. There's two stormtroopers and an ATDP literally parked directly on the hatch.
It has its feet on the hatch.
Can they zoom in on the feet? ATDP feet action. So if you're a big feet guy, you can get some ATDP feet in this episode. But suddenly Mart is useful, and she's like, all right, you're good at distractions. And he's like, I am. And she's like, you are now. And so Mart is going to be a distraction. We see Mart. He just like walks out and he's like, hey, you're looking for you're looking for the rebel pilots, right? Well, here you got one. And then he just pulls out his rifle. Not even fucking. He shoots it with one hand.
He might as well be running and shooting behind him.
Yes. It's like the clips of like gangbangers jumping up and down, shooting sideways with a pistol. It's like, this is not accurate. This is not how you shoot a gun. But he does that and he just smokes a stormtrooper right in the chest. So point blank, directly behind Rook, just missing shots. But here, a fucking football field away, one-handed with a rifle, just pulls it out and ices a dude right in the chest.
No
problemo. I fucking hate Mart Madigan. Mad Mardigan. Chopper, they run off. They say, oh, we got a pilot. The ATDP gets mobilized here. And Chopper is going to take this time to sneak over there and open the hatch. So Chopper plugs in. There's a speeder parked on the street, and Hera takes that speeder and just drives it directly into the ATDP's legs and crashes it. It's great. Martin Chopper begin to get into the hatch, but then suddenly Rook is back, and he catches up. Hera begins fighting with Rook, and she orders them to retreat. She's like, you have to get out of here. Get out of here now. Go.
She says that's an order three times.
Yeah. Now, it should be noted she did take time to stun the pilot of the ATDP when they got out, which I was like, If they catch you, they're going to execute you. Start killing them, please. Yeah. Please, can we kill the fascists? It is a war, right?
Yep.
I mean, I
know they're supposed to be the good guys, but...
Yeah, this is kind of where I'm with Saw. It's like, you can't fight... This isn't even fighting fair. They'll kill you.
Yeah.
You have to fully defend yourself here. They're going to kill you and torture... They'll kill you after they torture you. So, I got no qualms with, if they take lethal action on Imperials. Fuck that. Hera orders a retreat. And then once Chopper finally acquiesces, Mart's probably halfway back to base by this point. Little fucking, hate that Mart Madigan. Hera does have a nice shot where she shoots the hatch such so the Imperials can't chase them. She's then knocked down by Rook and surrounded by Imperial forces. Cruiser thing shows up, the little transport shows up.
The cop car.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the cop cars. You're right. And out comes Governor Arinda Price. And this is the first time Hera has met Price. So we're going to take a little listen to this clip. And then we are going to have one final clip with Kanan before we get to the end of this episode.
Governor Price, I've so wanted to meet you. Such a small victory.
Stuns Hera.
I hope this hatch isn't locked.
Come on, let's get you out of here.
Kanan!
Kanan's just everywhere with his eyes right now. He's just,
he could see everything.
Yeah, he's just waiting for Martin Marble.
I know she did, John.
Martin Marbles.
Martin Marbles.
Kanan, I'm so sorry.
It's all right, Mart. There's nothing you could have done. But there is something I can do.
I love Kanan in this episode.
Isn't it great?
He's so confident in what needs to be done. I love it. He's fucking awesome, dude. He went from being like my fourth or fifth favorite character in the series to like he might be number two behind Hera right now. He's so fucking good right now, dude. This is the best we've seen him go. Lothwolf watches him drive away. So he's taking Mart Magdalene and Chopper back to base, I'm assuming, and then he knows what he's got to do. But that's the end of the episode. So, Adam, Rebel Assault, Season 4, Episode 9. We only got six left after this. What does IMDb give this one?
IMDb is giving Rebel Assault an 8.2.
All right, that's fair. I think that's a good score for it, but I really, for some reason, when I my notes watch, I really love this episode.
It's great.
It's a 9 for me. I love it.
9? Holy shit.
This is my favorite episode in a while. I think it fucking rocks.
Uh-huh.
This episode's cool. Hera's awesome in it. Kanan is, like, awesome in it. Kanan's lines, there's not many, but they speak volumes about where he's at as a character. Yeah, I just love it. So, I mean, it'd probably be perfect if it didn't have Martin Madeline. So, yeah, 9 for me. What do you got?
I feel the same way, but
you're going 8.
I know that there's stuff coming up that's
you gotta go with your heart.
Stuff, so
you
I went 8.
Now, it should be said, my notes watch on this was after I've already watched the entire series.
Yeah.
That's how much I like this episode. So you're going an 8.
8.
For similar reasons?
Similar reasons.
What are your thoughts on Mart Madigan?
He's very annoying.
Okay. Do you hate him as much as I hate him?
Not nearly.
Mm. Okay.
But with a name like Mart, how can you not hate him?
How about this? K Mart Madigan. So
somehow makes me like him better.
Yeah. No, I want to take...
Because now he's the underdog.
Yeah. I think he's dead. Is there any Kmarts left? Are there any... I got to Photoshop Mart Madigan's head onto a Kmart.
No, once they took that one off of Lake Street, it was all over.
What is it now? A parking lot?
Yes.
Or no, I think they actually moved something in there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That thing was there forever.
Yeah, there was the one in Oakdale that stood for quite a while as
West
well.
West St. Paul, too, on Robert Street.
I missed the K. I missed that special K.
Blue light special.
Yeah. Blue light special on tampons and aisle 13. You got to get there before they turn the blue light off. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Turn it into a goddamn game.
Yep.
Genius, really. That's fun.
You got to bring this back.
Yeah, somebody get Mart Madigan online, see if he's interested in some branding. Kmart Madigan. Now that I've tweeted twice in one day, maybe it's time I start posting things like Kmart Madigan again.
We're off to the races.
Well, let's see how this one's doing that I tweeted today quick, shall we? Should we see how it's doing today? Okay, we got a little notification here. Okay, somebody looked at it. Okay, my tweet was, Star Wars is a thunderous symphony of friendship, love, family, life, faith, and sex dungeons. And then I have a picture of Jabba with Slave Leia. It has 9 likes and 1 retweet. We're back at it, baby.
We're back, baby.
We're back. Oh, we are so back. I also posted a poll today. Important nerd poll. Do you like the show hashtag Ahsoka, which is set in the Star Wars universe and stars Rosario Dawson as the titular character Ahsoka Tano? 92.9% say yes. 42 votes. 7 likes, 2 retweets. We are hitting the ground running. This is just like old days.
I swear I saw someone else tweet that exact same tweet, and they had thousands of likes.
Shocking. No, they said, I think it was, it's like poetry, it rhymes. And it was just like a picture of Ahsoka and a similar picture of Anakin. And then a picture of Ahsoka and a similar picture of Anakin. it's a shot from behind a character looking out on a city, which it's like one of the, I don't know, five most common shots in all of film and television. I don't think this was a deliberate, but it just, that Garrick sent it to me and I was just like, well, let's check the likes on
That's
this one.
Exponential growth.
Insane amount of just action on that. And then there was another one that was like the exact same thing, like a day later. So either they really just wanted to just grift that from the original author of the brilliant masterpiece that it was, or they didn't see it and they just posted it. But that also got a fair amount of run. If you listen to this show, I'm sorry that I didn't like your post. But it's like poetry, man.
It rhymes.
That's like me taking a picture of like Wolverine having a drink at a bar when he's talking to, I don't know, Eric Lyncher and fucking... and Charles Xavier, you know, from X-Men Days of Future Past. You take that. Let's say that. I take that shot. And then I take another shot of Wolverine drinking at a bar in X-Men 1. And I say, it's like poetry. It rhymes. No, you just see characters at bars a lot, okay?
And if you do listen...
Not everything is a parallel. I don't know why we have to try to find symbolism where there is none.
And if you do listen to this, give us a retweet. That'll always help us out.
Dude, nobody wants to hear me talk. I've probably alienated like half our audience. I just really didn't think. I was like, I've seen that shot in a million different movies. And you know, it's just, oh, somebody's, you know, Sleepless in Seattle. You can see Tom Hanks on his balcony overlooking the city. It's just, and then he turns around when someone says something to him. Oh my God. I love the show, by the way. I just don't think they meant anything by that at all. And if they did, if somebody says that in an interview now, if like Filoni's like, oh yeah, it was totally intentional, I'm gonna say he just saw the tweet that blew up and then he was just like, fuck it, we'll throw him a bone. Like, come on. All right, anyways, so a 9 and an 8. I'm in a real sour mood since everybody broke the rules of baseball. No fucking etiquette among fans.
Always look on the light side of life.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da. You okay over there?
You've been back on Twitter a day.
It's not good for me. It is not good for me, is it?
One day!
Should I tweet something right now? Should we just see what comes out?
Yeah, let's
all right,
go.
All right, give me a subject. Give me a subject. Give me, I don't know.
The Rebels finale.
The Rebels finale? The Rebels finale. Finale is one of grace and honor. I have been so blessed to live in a time that affords me this quality of Star Wars content. Okay, I'm going to put that, and then I'm just going to take a picture of Zeb's feet and post it. Oh, should I see if Zeb's feet are on DeviantArt? Oh, God, Zeb's feet, DeviantArt. Oh, it's just a picture of his feet. Oh, no. Man, people, Zeb's feet number 6. Okay, this particular person has been posting this... Giuseppe. Now, this is a public forum, so I don't think this is too much of me to report on if they're posting this. This Giuseppe person has posted Zeb's feet multiple times on DeviantArt. And oh, this one was published on January 4th, 2020. Nothing going on around then. Nothing about to happen. All was quiet on the Western Front.
There's more important things to talk about.
I got to find some good pictures of Zeb's feet if I'm going to choose. Okay, here. It's a good shot of Zeb's feet. Where did my Twitter go? Okay. And there's the tweet post. What do we think for that one, Adam? 5 likes and a retweet?
I'm going to go 4.
4?
1 retweet.
I think Garrick will retweet us. Okay. It's up. We'll see. Very exciting. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Light side moment of the episode. Light side moment of the episode for me was the cheering of the brave dog Clatoonian pilot guy. When he cheered for that half a second when shit was going well, I was really happy for him. And then 5 minutes later, he's getting dragged to his
it really came
torture
out of nowhere.
And death.
Boom.
Yeah, he hit a home run there. I love that fucking guy.
Yep.
I really love He's my favorite.
He was
favorite,
the highlight.
Yeah, he's my favorite glup shitto of all time. Of all time. This guy is good for 2 points on this. He brought that to a 9, baby. What's your light side moment?
My light side moment was when Chopper just barely flew into that stormtrooper
and knocked him out cold.
Knocked him out cold.
Chopper is probably pretty heavy, and he's metal.
He's got some heft to him.
He's got some density. Man. What is that one thing that's like the densest thing on Earth? You can order it. It's like a little ball cube that's like 20 pounds. You ever seen that thing?
Weighs everything down.
Yeah, it's just, it's this tiny little cube, and you can order it, I don't know, on the internet. Maybe they want to sponsor us. Oh, ErmasFinlandHouse.com, by the way. Promo code CLONECAST. Can't forget that.
Get it in under the wire.
I'll plug something. I'll take one of the, I'll take the old Bondsman, maybe the Springsteen, and I'll plug it back in the middle of the episode. Okay, so that's your light side moments of the episode.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
All right, dark side moment of the episode. I mentioned his highlight. I'll mention the low light. The brave dog Clatoonian pilot guy getting arrested with a very close honorable mention to R3, which I think you might be going with, unless I'm way off base. What do you got?
My dark side?
Yeah.
My dark side, I went with just seeing the entire attack force falling from the sky.
Okay.
It was very dark.
Yeah, it was a dark scene.
It was sad.
Yeah, it was sad. But surprised you didn't go with R3's downfall.
But surprisingly, I think, like, I don't know, it seems like most of them survived all of those crashes.
Yeah, but then think about this. So, brave dog, Clatoonian pilot guy, right? He's going into custody for interrogation. Do you think anybody's coming back for him?
Absolutely not.
I mean, we've seen what they did with that A-Wing pilot over on Adelon.
I was surprised at how traditional that arrest was, too.
Yes.
Like, they might as well have just, like, grabbed his head and lowered him into the squad car as they put him in there.
I don't know, dude. I just feel like he's going to his doom.
Plus, he was the cheerleader of this whole thing, too.
Man.
He's gone.
Oh, no. That's the darkest of dark sides.
Turns out that's the Inquisitor in Ahsoka. That's the big surprise for everybody.
The only people that would get it would be me and you. I was a pilot. Well, I'm sure some fan would be like, I called that. You know, I called the brave Clatoonian dog pilot. But no,
I flew side by side with Harrison Dula.
You never gave a shit who he was until we fucking told you about him. Nobody respected him. The Clone Cast, we're trailblazers. We're trailblazers for all the brave dog pilots out there. Okay, that's whatever. Let's move on. Thanks, Rex. Oh, this is going to suck. It's going to suck. Chibata. 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 And eight. Me. Oh, no.
You got it back.
Me, Andy. I think I might be able to do Corolla because he's all lower tones.
Yeah.
Me, Andy. Get it on. Me, Andy. Ball Brian, Gina Grad. Good morning. You're fired. Me, Andy. Gina Carano, come on the podcast. Me, Andy. Dennis Prager, help me. I'm being canceled. Gina Carano, come on the podcast. Ball Brian, Gina Grad, you're fired. Gina Carano, come on the podcast. Dennis Prager, being canceled. Me, Andy. Help me, Dennis Prager, being canceled. Okay, Dark Horse Hero of the episode. That's the best I could do. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
It got slightly more duckish. You know, like a Donald Duck mixed. Like if Donald Duck and Adam Carolla had offspring. The most annoying thing ever would be
you
would produced.
Have nailed it.
Yeah. Okay, Dark Horse Hero of the episode. I've already given my affection to this character, and I can't because I'm saving him for the fucking power rankings.
I think I am giving it to that guy.
You're going to give it to him?
R3 Pyramid Head.
Oh, you're giving it to the R3 yep. Pyramid Head. Okay, I think that's a good one. I do appreciate that, but I have things to say about him coming up.
It's like he was holding the switchblade up to those troopers.
I am going to go ahead and give my Dark Horse Hero of the episode to Kanan Jarrus. Not a lot of lines, but man, he's confident in what he needs to do, and I can respect.
He sees clearly for the first time since he's lost his vision.
Yeah, basically, yeah. We've seen him in spurts, but right now, that Lawfulth man, they did peyote together or something. Man. They've got a bond. They've got a beautiful bond building here. So I'm going Kanan Jarrus. Okay, that is your Dark Horse hero of the episode.
The Bonecast presents Power Rankings.
Talk to me.
Now this one, I can't. I can't do it. Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! There you go. Thank you. Give him another one, Adam. Give him a big one.
Yeah!
Give it a yitcha.
Yitcha.
Hey, Mike Kennedy, NFL. The Ewok Yub Nub song fucking blows that celebration bullshit out of the water. Starting fights. Just starting fights. Oh, Mike Kennedy, NFL, by the way. We're going to need a Vikings report because season's coming up.
And?
I want to know what Mike thinks there is in the store for the Vikes.
After watching this preseason game.
Well, dude, that means nothing. I'll reveal my pick for the Viking season when Mike Kennedy NFL sends in his Vikings primer for all of us clone cast.
I think it all depends on if Kurt shaves the chops or not, or the Fu Manchu.
That Fu Manchu is powerful. Okay, power rankings. What we do here is we are ranking our three favorite characters, objects, things, dying bull in the sands in the land of wheat. A dying bull that's bleeding out after pounding the shit out of Samir's wife. Something like that. We give them points. First place gets 3. Second place gets 2. Third place gets 1. And then we add them all up. Hera's in first. Ezra's in second. Sabine is in third. Conch Gal and Aqualush Bull. The aforementioned Aqualush Bull. The Pound King.
Never for me. Yeah, never forget.
Never forget. They are right behind in fourth. Chopper, Kanan, Rex, etc. But we can... give a shout out to Double Brave Rodian with 2 points and Grand Inquisitor Bobby with 2 points. So we'll go through them all, though. We're going to add them all up when this is all said and done, and we're gonna just break them down for you. It's gonna be a real ESPN segment where they're breaking down film. Okay, Adam, who's your number one?
My number one for power ranking is Chopper.
Chopper.
He woke up Hera in time to kind of get her out of there. He's been on it this whole time.
Okay, I like that. No, Chop. There's actually a lot of potential in this episode with this. This was a tough decision for me.
You had a costume change?
Yeah. But my number one was Hera Syndulla. Hera just really, I mean, injured and still holding her own against Rook. Giving herself up so Chopper and imagine the type of beautiful person you would have to be to sacrifice yourself for Mart Madigan. I mean, God, what a saint. Hera,
I mean,
continues to deliver.
Mart, for Christ's sake.
Kmart, excuse me, the rebrand. He's Kmart Madigan. But no, it's got to be Hera for me. She was awesome in this.
Skyrockets in flight. Oh, afternoon delight.
Okay. Adam, who do you got number two?
Number two, I went with Kanan Jarrus.
Jedi Knight Kanan Jarrus. Are you going with Kanan Jarrus or are you going with Doom?
Kanan Jarrus, parentheses.
Doom.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. I like Kanan. I think Kanan had a really good episode. That's why I gave him my Dark Horse, but... I had to give Kanan Dark Horse because we had a couple guys here that I just... Now, I'm going to go ahead and give number two to R3. I talk about Hera, you know, like giving herself up so Mart Madigan can escape. Hera gave herself up for probably ultimately being executed. But R3 straight up gave his life for Mart fucking Madigan. Just a brave Pyramid Head astromech. Really showed me something. Truly one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars ever. I fucking love this guy. R3.
He's a brave trooper.
Getting 2 points from me. Who is number three for you?
Number three, Hera Syndulla.
Hera Syndulla. Okay. What did you like, Adam?
Oh, she's just the resolve, the self-sacrifice. She's a beautiful leader, and those piloting skills. I mean, in the first part of the episode, they're second to none.
Yes.
She's the best pilot that the Rebellion has at this point.
She's a badass all around.
Yep.
Land or sea or air.
It's crazy. She's been piloting the Ghost this entire time like it is a fighter. Yes. So when she gets behind the wheel of a fighter, she's flying circles around people.
Yeah, she fucking rocks. I don't know. Mine is... I've said it once. I'll say it again. I mean, it was tough deciding between R3 and this character for me. But brave dog pilot... And then I got in parentheses, Clatoonian. Getting a point from me. I mean, he's an avatar for life, really. I mean, one minute you're riding fucking high, just cheering a big victory. And the next minute, you're down and out. You're at your lowest point. Yeah. So, brave dog pilot, and then in parentheses, Clatoonian, ? Is getting a point from me. All right, that is your power rankings.
I beg your pardon, but what do you mean, naked? My parts are showing. My goodness.
I think I can still do this.
Bo-shooter.
Man, I love that fucking song.
God, that song's great.
Maybe what I should do if I ever draw a blank for Clonecast Recommends, I should just pick a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, Devin will listen to the whole segment. That'd be good.
You got ample material to choose from.
Yeah. This could be how I learn more about Taylor.
Yeah.
My future wife. My wife. Okay. Good Hood. We're on Lothal. We got a lot going on in Lothal City. Who was looking... Can you do it?
Hot!
All right. Who was looking hot? Adam, who's your fashion icon this week? Who's your fashionista? Who was leading the way on the runway?
There's a couple of different options, but I went with my favorite. I went with Cleat.
Cleat?
Cleat.
Yeah, Cleat, Phoenix 3.
The livery on her helmet, that deep, deep blue.
Yes.
It was very pretty.
Wait, she's Phoenix 4.
Yes.
Sorry to Phoenix 3, a.k.a. Doug. What was his name?
Duke.
Duke. Duke.
Yeah.
Might as well call him Doug.
He's named after a mayonnaise.
I like that. I like that. It's a deep pull. Cleat was looking good.
Uh-huh.
I really thought Cleat was somebody that we were going to get to know a bit.
Before she got blown into the galaxy.
Oh, she almost made it, too. She had the shields down, and Hera was almost there, almost saved her. Oh, man. We're getting a lot of, just little characters that just get killed in this show.
Yep.
They really just cannon fodder.
They do a great job.
These are like the red shirts of, the original Star Trek series. Like, the red shirt always dies on the away mission in Star Trek. I got to go with Hera. She had the cool X-Wing jumpsuit on.
That pilot uniform?
Yes.
Her helmet had like a silhouette of a TIE fighter with like a line through it. It was very cool.
Yeah, and also I just find myself getting lost in her eyes at times. I love Hera. She's the best.
What do you think of the live action interpretation?
She's the best. Oh, God. I fucking love her. That damned Obi-Wan. That beautiful man that he is. He deserves her. I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for Ewan McGregor. He's my favorite person. His wife makes me so happy.
Me too.
I can't wait to watch her some more.
Yep.
Oh, she is rocking those parachute pants, baby. Really, really showing off.
Yep.
Oh, hello. She's her and She-Hulk. Carry me home. Carry me home, ladies. Okay, that's your Good Hood. Oh, man, the voice is starting to go really bad again. Let's get out of here. Yeah, da-da-da-da. I don't like that. It sounds like Palpatine pretending to be me. Okay, thank you, Yoda. Thank you, Chewbacca. Adam, we used to, in the Clone Wars, I predict the next episode based off the tagline. Now, since we don't have taglines on Rebels, I predict the next episode based off of the episode title. So, Adam, what is the next episode that I will be predicting completely accurately?
Well, next episode, Tom, is entitled Jedi Knight, spelled N-I-G-H-T.
Yes. Now, I would have known what was going to mean up just through osmosis of knowing this information. I think this is Kanan's Waterloo. This is Waterloo. He's going down, but he's doing it brave. He's doing it bravely. So I think we're going to lose a member of the crew next week. He surrenders to his fate at Waterloo. So it's Kanan's Waterloo. I was listening to Waterloo today, and I just really want to say
song.
It like 10 times because I think I'm going to use it for the music next week because I've been listening to a lot of ABBA today.
ABBA's great.
Waterloo. Napoleon did surrender. Oh, yes. Can't deny your fate. Okay. Jedi Knight, Season 4, Episode 10. Things are heating up on Rebels. There's no going back now. Alrighty then, Adam. Where can the listeners reach us?
Send us an email. We are clonecastpod@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @clonecastpod.
You might actually reach me on Twitter now.
Now you're back on, yeah.
Let's see how it's doing. You can keep going.
Send us an email if you want to join the Discord. We'll send you that link, Johnny on the spot. Thank you all for your support. Thanks you for listening. We love all of our Clonecast and Novas. If you're ever in town, let us know. See you next time for Jedi Knight. Until then, may the Mr. Robotron be with you.
Four likes and one retweet.
The building. You ever hear the tragedy of Crispin's Day?